Okay, let's get started. Pick it up again. I've eaten a number of cough drops, which may or may not be helpful. We are on PDF page 66 in our Lecture 1 file, and we're looking at the models page of the course handout. We're down to nonlinear growth curves. Nonlinear does not refer to non-straight line. It refers to a model that is not linear in the parameters. And the two examples that we'll talk about are logistic curve, which are very common, plant physiology, even human growth, and asymptotic regression or linear state dependence, which is a slightly simpler model with a single asymptote off to the right. Could be a learning curve, could be fertilizer response, could be all sorts of things. We'll look at these two kinds of curves. You can see parameterizations of them here. And these are two of the many examples where R has a self-starting function, SS logis and SS amp. And those are described both in the R documentation and in Bates and Pinheiro's text, Appendix C, which we dip into here, and we have pieces of it in these lecture slides and a link to it. So we'll take a look at fitting these kinds of growth curves, often plant or chemical growth. But first, just to give a home team type thing, engineers kind of often believe everything's linear on a log-log scale. Certainly, number of CRAN packages, and this only goes up to 2009, and you can see they've exploded, go up exponentially. That is, if you're straight line in the log-log scale, and it's continued to go up. 2000 is far too small. That's from 10 years ago. And if you look at PDF page 68, you can see at least going up 2012, it regains that exponential. Here is number of our packages. And you can see this is growing probably exponentially. You could model it various kinds of curves, but example of a nonlinear model, exponential growth. Another one is compartment models in pharmacokinetics, how fast drugs dissipate from a system. You can see here is a fit over time, number of hours, and concentrations. And these are often compartment models. These are big money. These kind of curves are the reason why the SAS campus back in North Carolina is nicer than the Stanford campus in terms of elegance and expense. These models are a big deal. So Doug Bates made a big effort that LME would also fit these kinds of models because it is good to go where the drug companies go. So there's an example of a nonlinear mixed effects models. We'll look at orange tree growth for logistics later on. Okay, so here we have our web page again. I can't get enough of it. Our two nonlinear curves with those side examples. Okay, the chick data, which is in the R, used to everybody in R. You can see it looks like it's going up, but maybe it's turning and asymptoting. Chicks don't get infinitely big. Number of R packages may get infinitely big, but chicks don't. So you expect that to turn up rapid, so asymptote. You just don't have very good data on it. 20 isn't enough time. Here is the logistic growth model, and we see the parameterization. And basically, to run it, we need a nonlinear regression to give the fitting function more information than we do least squares, just or even a smoother. We need to give it a guess at the asymptote, a guess at the midpoint where you get half to the upper asymptote, and a scale parameter, which is just the steepness of the growth to the upper asymptote in the middle. And you can think of it as time elapse between reaching half height and about three quarters height of your final height. So you have the asymptote you need an estimate of, you need the midpoint where it turns over, and you need an idea of the steepness of the curve where it turns over, and that's a time between half and three quarters of the asymptote. Those are good starting values. Appendix C of Bates-Pinheiro has some simple algorithms for getting estimates of these. It usually doesn't matter that much. The easiest thing to do is you try a couple different values and see if it's sensitive. So you do need for these fitting harder models to give the fitting mechanism more information. R is very good. Instead of having to put in a bunch of derivatives, etc., you can just do the self-starting logistic function with those guesses from the data. Here it is again, just simply logistic growth model. This is from Doug Bates' slides. Asymptote, time where you're halfway up, and how your steepness when you're halfway up. Self-starting NLS and SS Logis. Here's the documentation page, and you can see various explanations and an example of doing it with the chick data. This is PDF page 74, or just the help page for SS Logis. So if you do question mark SS Logis, you will get this page. Nonlinear regression. Many of the books, this is Verbeek's book, you can do this. Here's some logistic versus polynomial fits. PDF page 75, the rightmost frame, shows you why you could fit a polynomial except when you try to extrapolate things that are there. Things that behave within an asymptote, and maybe it's a 0-1 boundary, or maybe you have to estimate the upper asymptote. But logistic curves are quite useful. They just take additional information. You can't fit them with 4 points in time. Way back in the 1950s, learning curves were often seen as logistic. People try to fit them by hand with a ruler and things. It's pretty hard to do that accurately. So SS Logis from Bates and Pinheiro's book. Here is some details, Appendix C of the Bates-Pinheiro book, which is linked, SS Logis, simple logistic model. And here's a quick rundown. We'll do the orange tree example week three or week four, but you can find some simple ways of fitting that. And we have lots of models in Appendix C. You can see enzyme kinetics, PDF page 77. And this is basically the one version of growth to an asymptote, but we care about logistic right now. PDF page 77. And here we go, growth of chicks, a different date. Here's from my handout. And we have the chicks, time and weight. And we try an SS Logis. And what we do is I set the asymptote 668, X mid 19, and scale equals 6. I think I got those from another run. You could try to figure those out, puzzle them out. Doesn't really make that much difference. This isn't such a bad fit. You can see you really don't know much about the asymptote if you take a look at the estimate standard error, because you didn't really get to see the turn. So the final weight of the chick could be most anywhere. You'd really don't have the data to find that. Fit it, really, you could try different initial values. And it does a pretty good job if you do predict. You can see, well, 40 versus 42, and 209 versus 205, 195 versus 199. So within this data, you do a pretty good job of fitting with the logistic curve. You just extrapolating is going to be tough. You could try a four-parameter logistic where at time zero, you weren't at zero. They obviously took this at birth, and the chick weighed something at birth. So you could have tried a four-parameter with a non-zero lower asymptote, but that's a little tough. This is chick weight. You can get the chickweight.r, Hand and Crowder, small data sets. Here's the little example of fitting logistic. We have an example. Paul Rosenbaum has a vocabulary example in the review questions, and we go through that in more detail. The review questions have a number of items in there. I'll remind you of those at the end. And so Doug Bates slides has the orange trees, five orange trees. We do this later on. how long it is, and we fit the logistic curve. So that's another orange tree example that's in data sets. So the last nonlinear one is less common than logistic, but it's just a single growth to a single asymptote linear state dependence, i.e. your rate of improvement depends on how far you are to the asymptote. So it's a good learning curve. And we have a picture of it right here, the asymptotic regression model, growth to an asymptote. And you can try to estimate the parameters for the self-starting logis. We have an example in review questions, either week one or week two. SSAMP is the first one in C, and you can try to get some, you have to do some work to get good guesses at the asymptote, but you can see C1, the asymptotic regression model, is what we're calling linear state dependence. And it's a good growth curve. They have some methods for doing that. You can see the picture on PDF page 83 from Appendix C, and you can also have it with an offset. You can see model C1 is your basic growth to an asymptote or response for more fertilizer. At some point, more fertilizer doesn't help. That's PDF page 83. Okay, then let's stop and look at the review questions before I talk a little bit about durations just at the very end. Review questions, we have do a little bit more. We review question one, do a little bit more with subject 372. Just remind you what straight line regression is. Then you do a little bit more of the Belgian maids example. These are just designed to get you to look at the course examples more thoroughly. Point three is a growth in vocabulary using logistic growth curve, trying out that. There's all sorts of growth packages. Did a little bit more on autocorrelation just to end the subject there, but showing I take it somewhat seriously. And then we have a couple exercises doing things with straight line fits and Berkeley growth data and showing some things. Those would be more extensive bits. So we have a couple review questions, fitting logistic, fitting straight line, and looking at the GLM fit for Bayesian ages. So that is our individual trajectories quick overview, really designed to do something for week one. For some, it might have been too deep a review. For others, there may be some new material. Just to complete our week one activity course overview, I just tacked on the end, starting on PDF page 84, a couple of examples from survival analysis. The first weeks of the course are growth curves, rates of improvement, amount of improvement. Improvement can be negative for experimental, non-experimental, descriptive analyses. And then the last weeks of the course are kind of the flip side of it. Durations, how long it takes to get somewhere. Survival analysis is one way of doing that. Could be on-off processes where survival isn't absorbing state. But here's one of our survival analysis examples, retention of heroin addicts and methadone. I try to find examples that aren't cancer in rats. They get fairly tedious. So for example, here's heroin addicts. It's in Australia. Whether methadone causes them to go longer without recidivism. So retention of heroin addicts, how long they stay heroin clean. Does methadone work? And there's some confounders there. So there's an example different from cancer in rats. But it's a question about durations. A favorite example of durations, because it matters to you, is time to PhD. And these are historical data. This is 1980, 1981, when I first came to Stanford. A project we did for H&S was looking at how long it takes to get a PhD across various departments. So I had a collection of survival curves. And here's the survival curve you care about. Time in PhD is survival. So getting the PhD or finishing the dissertation is quote-unquote death, or absorbing state. You can see even after 7 years, 10% don't have a PhD. And that may go on forever, but at some point these are censored data, because at some point you had to collect the data, and you have people that still regard themselves as walking around but without a PhD. So here's an example. This was the science groups, and many of them get done in 4 or 5 years. Another one, which I also am very fond of because it's a sweet spot, is hazard functions. And higher hazard means lower probability of survival, as we'll see. So you want hazards to be low for strokes, which you want to avoid, and alcohol consumption. And the sweet spot is not far from 2 drinks a day. It's not zero, it's like salt. No salt at all isn't very good for you. A lot of salt isn't very good for you. There is a sweet spot. And sweet spot is somewhere around 1 to 2 drinks a day. 2 beers a day is not bad. So I like that, but it's time to stroke. We want that time to be very long. And third is just two-state behavior streams. Survival analysis is once you go off, you stay off. Once you go on, you stay on. It's observing state. But for things like time on task, paying attention in lecture, I won't comment on that remotely. Unemployment, angina, herpes or malaria or depression, you might go on, off, and you're interested in incidents of depression and how long you stay depressed. And off to on transition, so we'll talk about that a little bit. It's an extension of the ideas of survival analysis. And weeks 8 and 9, we'll talk about those sorts of things. So those are other examples of duration, proportion of time someone is unemployed, kinds of things like that. Portion of time people pay attention. Hooray for paying attention. Okay, so that calls an end of week 1. As I have commented, the webpage has everything. This is how we will do the various pieces of the course. Everything is posted on the course webpage, which is hosted on GoDaddy. So it's rock solid. No Stanford problems are going to cause us any problems. So we are kind of Stanford free. You may be off campus. There is one issue that I didn't bring up, just logistical issue. Access to books and things that are hosted on the Stanford Library's website, number of these books are, etc., etc. You need to do a proxy, an SU proxy, and they have upgraded proxy service. I think there's even a download app type thing. You used to have to set your browser to do proxy, so you look like you're signing in from Stanford. But I'm sure most of you have mastered that already, because you may have already been living off campus. But that's one. So just do a Google search and SU proxy. The libraries, they have a number of updated web pages. That shouldn't be a problem for the CRC NetBase stuff, which is all the books that you might want to look at. So we try to have everything available. Of course, I want to know about if something's not available. There's always things that move around, but we will continue this week. And so before next Wednesday, I'll post week 2, which is collections of growth curves, both the materials like I have here and the review questions, plus the lecture slides and audio. I'll put everything up at once. And we'll try to get in a rhythm here. And if there's any issues, just let me know. Okay, we will call an end to week 1 just about now. Thank you very much. You can use the exit music if you like.